Radio Prague News.
The government, unions and employers are meeting to discuss the growing crisis in the health sector. Czech police are planning on stepped-up controls on cars with German license plates, the newspaper Pravo has reported. Prague City Hall will boost security for a demonstration planned by protesters opposed to a power-sharing deal between the Civic and Social Democrats. Prime Minister Petr Nečas and Health Minister Leoš Heger are taking part in three-way talks between the government, unions and employers over the looming crisis in the health sector. Talks are expected to center on government plans to increase charges on patients for hospital visits and care and the threat of thousands of hospital doctors to quit at the end of the year if their conditions are not improved. Unions are also likely to focus on what they say are government plans to shift around 10 billion crowns of health charges onto patients. Czech police are planning on stepped-up checks on cars with German license plates, according to Friday's edition of the daily Pravo. The controls should start before Christmas. Authorities have denied that this is a payback for increased German controls of Czech drivers over the last months. Politicians in Prague had denounced the German checks as harassment and said they breached the spirit of the European Union's passport-free Schengen agreement. The Czech police say their controls are aimed at countering a car theft spree across the border in Germany, in which some Czech citizens are thought to have taken part. Prague City Hall has said it will increase security when city representatives meet on Tuesday. The move comes in response to a planned protest organized over the social network Facebook. Some 3,000 people have promised to attend a demonstration outside City Hall in protest of a new coalition agreed earlier this month between local civic and social democrats. The deal, which proved unpopular among many voters, froze out the municipal election winner Top 09 and its candidate for mayor Zdeněk Tuma. Instead, the Civic Democrats candidate Bohuslav Svoboda will be the city's next mayor. The planned protest has received backing from a number of high-profile figures, meanwhile, in the Czech art scene, among them the documentary filmmaker Olga Somerova and Radek Banga, the singer for pop group Gypsy CZ. Firemen in the western spa town of Karlovy Vary say a drugs production operation went wrong, setting fire to a four-story home in the town. Two Vietnamese were seen fleeing the scene on Friday, their clothes partly on fire. They were picked up by the police around 20 kilometers away in the town of Sokolov and taken to hospital. The car they were driving revealed traces of chemicals used for drugs production. And finally, a quick look at the weather into the weekend. Mostly cloudy conditions are expected, with a chance of snow showers. Daytime temperatures should range between -3 and -1 degrees Celsius. I'm Jan Fellinger, and that's all the news for now.
Hello, this is Radio Prague, and I'm Ian Willoughby. Welcome to the program. Today, efforts to defuse tensions in the Czech health sector appear to have failed, and many doctors are still threatening to quit. Charismatic World War II airman Jan Wiener dies in Prague at the age of 90.
In those times that I grew up, the Nazis, and then afterwards the Cold War in the 50s, it was very risky to stand up. But I did.
We'll have all the latest news from the world of Czech business. And later in the program, the biggest ever exhibition dedicated to the Czech Baroque painter Karel Škreta opens in Prague. All that's coming up in today's program, so do please stay with us. Efforts to defuse growing tensions in the Czech Republic's health sector over a deepening financial crisis appear to have come to naught. The health minister, Leoš Heger, announced on Thursday that cuts in payments from insurance companies wouldn't be as severe as previously feared. But that has done little to stem the growing tide of discontent, with the Czech medical chamber saying doctors will start handing in their resignations on Monday. Daniela Lazarova has the story.
At a press briefing in Prague on Thursday, Minister Heger told hospitals they would get 2.1 billion crowns less for care provided from health insurance companies next year, a reduction which he said would prevent health insurance companies falling deeper into debt while allowing hospitals to provide the same level of care. The minister said it was up to hospital directors to make the necessary organizational changes.
The hospital wards that are hardest hit will have to tap into their reserves, organise their work better and try to provide more treatment within outpatient care. We think this cut should not affect the level of care provided or threaten the stability of health institutions.
The reduction is expected to start a gradual overhaul of the health sector, involving the closure of smaller hospitals and a greater concentration of specialised care in the big regional hospitals. The government claims that Czech health institutions conduct more medical procedures and keep patients in hospitals longer than strictly necessary for their own financial benefit. They point out that with 5 beds per 1,000 inhabitants, the Czech system is way ahead of most European states, including Switzerland, Italy, Denmark or the Netherlands. This has raised the ire of many specialists who do not want to see their wards closed down and who say that the cuts will cripple them to such an extent that within 6 months they may only be able to offer acute care, with planned operations being systematically delayed. Moreover, a lower income from health insurance companies has definitely dashed any hopes they may have had of higher pay. Close to 4,000 of the country's 16,000 hospital doctors have threatened to resign and seek work abroad if they do not get a pay rise next year. Roman Primula, head of the teaching hospital in Hradec Králové, says he is worried about the prospect.
Our biggest concern is the departure of specialists, especially of anesthesiologists. They service all surgical wards, and if half of them leave, as they're threatening to do, then we'll be only able to perform acute operations. Anything more would be beyond our capacity.
The Czech Medical Chamber, which has fought a losing battle for higher salaries, has said doctors will start handing in their resignations on Monday. If the mass exodus is as massive as some predict, the Czech health sector could find itself in very big trouble. And it will be patients who will inevitably pay the highest price. One of the popular slogans doctors carried at protest rallies read, "Our exodus will be your exitus."
And exitus means death, I just discovered today. Thank you for that report, Daniela. We will, of course, be bringing you more about that story as it unfolds. Jan Wiener, a hero of World War II, has died in Prague at the age of 90. Mr. Wiener was born in Hamburg, but moved with his Jewish family to Prague at a young age. Keen to fight the Nazis, he left the city at 19. And after a series of gruesome experiences and daring escapes, eventually made it to the UK. There he joined the Czechoslovak 311th Bomber Squadron, flying many missions over occupied Europe. Speaking to Radio Prague in 2002, the still dashing Wiener told the gripping story of how after the war he had set out to kill a Czech collaborator named Havran, who had treated him appallingly in 1939. The man, an official checking Wiener's belongings on his departure from Prague, had told him he wouldn't need four pairs of shoes. As a Jew, he wouldn't have time to wear out even one pair. 6 years later, they met again.
I said, "Do you recognize me?" And he said, "I don't seem to have the honor." I said, "Havran, I will refresh your memory. Listen carefully." And I went through the list as I remembered it. And when I came to the shoes, I said to him, "Now you have to pay special attention. Four pairs of shoes. Jew, you won't have time to wear out one." And you know what, Havranku, I wore out six. And I came to kill you, I told him. I pulled him by his lapels towards me, and his face was right in my face, sweating. His upper lip had a little mustache. I was quivering. and he had lost, out of fear, he had lost his voice. And then he croaked, kind of. He said, "Please don't, I have family." And that was for me like in the theater when the curtain goes up. What are you doing here? What are you about to do here? You're going to kill a man who cannot defend himself in cold blood. You cannot do that. And I hit him very hard with a right cross. Then I went away. And on the staircase, I had a wave of happiness, of enormous happiness over me that I had not done it. That was the moment when World War II was ended for me.
When the communists came to power, Jan Wiener was sent to a labor camp, considered, like a lot of airmen who had fought in the West, an enemy of the state. He was released after 5 years and eventually emigrated to the US in the 1960s. Wiener returned to his homeland following the Velvet Revolution and was active in Civic Forum. In recent years, he had taught history and shared his experiences with secondary school students as part of a project aimed at educating the young generation about the crimes of communism. As well as being a great raconteur, he was an accomplished boxer, and a documentary about him was simply called Fighter. Was that a reputation that he felt proud of?
I must tell you, yes, I do, and I think that there are moments in life when you have to make a stand, and in those times that I grew up, the Nazis, and then afterwards the very Cold War in the 50s, it was very risky to stand up, but I did. And I think it is stupid to say I'm proud I'm this or I'm proud I'm that, but I believe rather that I'm proud that I could overcome my fears in order to function, that I came out not as a really aggressive person, but you cannot be a non-aggressive fighter.
The great Jan Wiener, who died on Wednesday at the age of 90. A reminder, you're listening to Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Now I'm joined in the studio by Chris Johnston for a look at this week's news from the world of Czech business.
The Czech Republic is currently outside the Eurozone and has been largely insulated from the turbulence surrounding the future of the European single currency and support measures for its most exposed members. But reports are surfacing that the Czech Republic could be drawn into moves to bolster support for the Eurozone as worries spread from Greece and Ireland to other countries. The Daily Dnes says the government is secretly discussing whether the country could take part in a new rescue plan for Eurozone countries. It said its information is based on a government report with talks confirmed by two ministers. The paper says that Czech Eurosceptic President Václav Klaus has taken the stance that the Czech Republic should seek an opt-out from adopting the euro. The country is obliged to join the zone when it fulfills all the criteria, but no date has been set for that to happen by the government.
The Czech Republic's biggest car maker and biggest exporter, Škoda Auto, has come under the scrutiny of European competition watchdogs in Brussels over suspected state support. News of the scrutiny was released by the deputy head of the Czech Competition Office. Czechs are centred on state incentives for increased production of motors and gearboxes. Škoda, which is owned by Volkswagen, confirmed the probe, but was unwilling to say what sums are at stake. European aid rules for the car sector are extremely tight due to overcapacity in the sector.
Czech Airlines grabbed the spotlight this week after the government threw it into a holding company created from the carrier and the company running Prague Airport. The move gives the airline a stronger financial foundation amid reports that results are still lagging management expectations. The Daily Dnes says the airline made a 125 million crown profit in the first 9 months of the year, but only thanks to a massive property sell-off bringing in around 1.5 billion crowns. That means the carrier was still making a heavy operational loss.
Czech's real purchasing power in 2009 fell to 70% of its level of a year earlier, according to a survey of the impact of the recession released this week by the National Statistical Office. The biggest cause of tighter household budgets was unemployment, with almost one person in 10 losing their jobs in companies employing more than 10 over the year. The National Number Crunchers found that the lucky ones who found jobs last year were brought in at lower wages than those going out the door. Wage savings there averaged around 5%.
State fuel oil processing, storage, distribution and petrol station operator CEPRO is seeking the go-ahead to launch talks about its integration with a major refinery company. CEPRO says feelers put out about the idea have been welcomed by three companies, and it will seek the go-ahead from its board to take talks further in the middle of December. The government will also have to okay any merger or share swap. One strategic question for the government will be whether some of the responsibility for storing strategic fuel oil, such as petrol and aircraft fuel, can be put in private hands. Czech refining company Česká Rafinerska is probably the front runner for a tie-up with CEPRO.
Now, in the final part of our programme today, it's time for our weekly dose of culture in the arts. This time out, Jan Velinger reports on the biggest ever exhibition dedicated to the great Czech Baroque artist Karel Škréta.
This week saw the opening of a major exhibition in Prague of the work of the great 17th century Bohemian painter Karel Škréta, a show being held at two separate sites, the Wallenstein and Prague Castle Riding Schools, two of the capital's best-known arts venues. The exhibition is the result of extensive cooperation between the National Gallery, the Prague Castle Administration, and the Prague Archbishopric, and features work not only by the Czech painter, but also Italian and German contemporaries. If you see only one show of old masters this season, this should be it. Karel Škréta, the multifaceted painter known for magnificent altar pieces, but also intimate scenes and portraits, has been viewed now through several major exhibitions in Prague. The first was held exactly 100 years ago. The second was in 1938. The third in the communist period in 1974, and the fourth now, arguably the most ambitious. Curator Vid Vonas explained this week why Karel Škréta, his work and his era, goes further than any exhibition before.
Naštěstí se ukázalo, že je tomu poněkud jinak.
It may appear that in the past, the topic of Škréta's work was exhausted, but this, luckily, wasn't the case. Cooperation with Charles University and the Academy of Sciences on an extensive study of the painter's life and work showed how important it was to look at Škréta through a different perspective than the previous shows, not just as an old master in his own right, but within a broader cultural and historical context. For this reason, we mapped the painter's schooling and early years, and travels across the Alps and to Italy, and included for the first time work hung side by side by Italian contemporaries, the greatest Italian artists of the day, like Guido Reni and others. And it works.
The curator also says it is important to realize the Baroque painter was anything but provincial, and that this exhibition, unlike previous ones, made a number of important distinctions about Škréta's work. Vít Vlnás again.
Škrétův vývoj nebyl lineár. Škréta prostě neprocházel jednotlivými údobími.
His development as a painter wasn't linear. He didn't go through individual periods. Narrative, lyrical, realistic or classicist, he proved able to apply all methods, depending on the nature of a particular commission or work. That's one reason why Škréta was widely recognized and respected, why he worked so often, and why his fame reached far beyond Prague or Bohemia's borders.
A neustále velmi vytěžovaným malířem, jehož věhlas daleko přesahoval hranice Prahy a Čech.
The show, divided into two parts, focuses on both early and later periods. How the painter was influenced by his predecessors from the Rudolfine period at the beginning of the 17th century and later on. In Professor Vilas's view, it was also important to capture something of the painter's personal life, showing items he would have had in his home and personal library, and equally to explore how Škreta was viewed and interpreted in ensuing centuries when the artist was highly revered. The curator, once more.
Další věc, která se nám snad podařila, nebo kterou jsme chtěli ukázat, je ukázat Škrétu v jeho...
We wanted to show Škréta's many sides, as a painter and illustrator, but also as an inventor of graphic methods. We also wanted to show something of his personal life. We're able to feature objects that would have been found in the Škréta home, above all the books the father and son read, which reveal a rich intellectual life. On the flip side, we also wanted to explore the cult, which was built up in later centuries. He was an icon in Czech art history, but also a character in a number of plays or stories, or even an opera, written by Karel Benda, based on a libretto by Eliška Krasnohorská. Details are also on view here.
Karla Bendla na libretto Elišky Krasnohorské. Takže k tomu najdete různé doklady právě zde na balkoně Valštinské jízdárny.
In all, viewers will be able to see more than 400 works and exhibits concerning the painter and others at the two writing galleries, including some of his best-known paintings based on mythological or religious scenes, such as the lives of saints or of Christ, and portraits of countless individuals, including the famous canvas of royal gem cutter Dionisio Miseroni and his family. The painting is even featured in an electronic interactive system prepared for the first time for visiting high schools, so that students will have a chance to learn with more immediacy about some of the painter's masterworks. Perhaps an even more famous painting many will be sure to notice is one of Škreta's earlier works, The Mocking of Christ, which shows inhumane observers making faces at the Messiah before the crucifixion. The work is said to have been influenced by Albrecht Dürer.
Je to ovšem dílo, které ukazuje I velké ambice.
It's especially extraordinary when you consider the painter was only around 20 years old at the time. It shows much of his early ambition.
In all, the exhibition features works borrowed from some 100 institutions, galleries, or private owners, and an exhibition of such scope is not likely to be seen again. What is fascinating is that, in addition to more well-known pieces, the exhibition also features paintings considered lost for decades, which were only uncovered through the restoration process. Paintings such as the Annunciation found in a church in North Bohemia. The head of the restoration team, Petr Kutan.
It was found hidden on the upper floor near the church organ. Nobody really believed it was a Škreta original. When found, the painting was completely damaged.
Karel Škreta, his life and his era, continues in the capital from November until April 10th, 2011. Visitors should visit the Wallenstein Writing School first in Prague's Malá Strana to view the painter's early work and his beginnings, and then move to the Prague Castle Writing Gallery second, two tram stops away, to see the larger part of the exhibition, which includes altar pieces. Besides the show itself, there are numerous accompanying programs and events, and a new monograph available in English as well as Czech.
That edition of The Arts by Jan Wellinger takes us to the end of today's program. Please tell us if you've got any thoughts on what you've heard on the program today. The address for sending letters to is Vinohradska 12, That's Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2. And for emails, the address is english@radio.cz. As always, everything you've heard in the programme can also be found at radio.cz, our great website. There you'll also find a huge archive of reports and features in both text and audio form. You can also sign up for a free news email and use our podcasting. We'll talk to you again soon, folks, but until then, from me, Ian Willoughby, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you for listening and goodbye.